Twitchy Dolphin Media presents Let's Get To. It's baseball from sea to shining sea by the team that brings you home. And now, your host, James Christopher.
And welcome back to Let's Get To. We are back with a full episode as we get ready to visit two of Minor League Baseball's favorite mascots. We've got Homer from the Peoria Chiefs and Champ from the Vermont Lake Monsters. But before we get out to the ball game, I want to talk about a couple of special people that are working on our show, our St. Michael's production team. We have a couple of our students who are going to continue with us through the end of this season and the beginning of the new show. So we're very excited to have Shelby Allen, Austin Bouch, and Richie Morales working on this show. They're going to get to help create the episodes, marketing, video stuff, and above all, helping to provide a youthful voice to our projects going forward, because I am not, in fact, getting any younger. So this is the penultimate episode of Let's Get To. That's right, second to last. Have a good time and stay with us.
On the St. Louis team, we have who's on first, what's on second, I don't know's on third.
That's what I want to find out. I want you to tell me the names of the fellas on the St. Louis team.
I'm telling you, who's on first, what's on second, I don't know's on third.
Do you know the fellas' names?
Yes.
Well, then who's playing first?
Yes.
I mean, the fellas'
who's
names.
Who's on first? Who? The Let's Get To team of the week.
So we landed in St. Louis for our second-to-last trip of the season. Scott and I jumped in the car, and it was time to head to Peoria, Illinois. The first week of school was over, and it's time for a mini-vacation of sorts. And the best part? We were meeting up with some friends. We met with Gary, a friend of mine who I've known for decades, and two new friends in the baseball world, Zach Beeson and Lynn Smith. There's a lot of places and ways to unwind, but give me a ballpark any day. And if it's Dozer Park, well, that's like the all-inclusive resorts of ballparks. From beautiful manicured fields to plenty of great places to eat and a large assortment of local beverages. Now, one of the things I dig the most, it is a caterpillar town with the legacy of building and creating. And I love that the ballpark isn't called Caterpillar Park. It's Dozer Park. Like bulldozer? Get it? Now, you truly do feel welcome when you walk in. It's a place for everyone. And what I love about baseball is no matter where you are, no matter where you're from, you're already part of the family. You're one of the people who get it. And immediately when you walk in, it's a relaxing feeling. And as we get closer to the end of this season, I can't take for granted just how much I'm going to miss it when baseball's temporarily gone. The season has flown by, and I will miss those moments at a ballpark where I can walk in and feel like I'm 6 years old. And that's what happens to me every time I walk across a concourse and I see the playing field for the first time. It takes me right back to the past, where every game was a magical trip, a nine-inning moment in time spent with special people watching the greatest game ever invented. Now, baseball has always been a sport with one foot in the present and one foot in the past. And everywhere around Dozer Park, the past is present to connect with all generations of Peoria Chiefs fans. We spoke to Cody, voice of the Chiefs, about all things Peoria baseball. Now, the Chiefs are celebrating their 40th anniversary, which makes for a natural time to reflect on how far the team has come in four decades.
Peoria baseball is a long tradition, going way back to the Distillers and playing baseball down at Old Woodruff Park on Adams Street, just to 5-10 minute jaunt from where we are at Dozer Park. So baseball goes way, way back, you know, the old Illinois Iowa League, and you know, you can retrace Peoria baseball 100 years. But the Chiefs have been around. This is our 40th on-field season when you consider the COVID layoff. So 40, 40 and a half, you know, we're kind of in between. But we marketed this year as our 40th on-field season, and Pete Vanacken bought the club in 1983, and we rolled it out there in 83, started out as an Angels affiliate very briefly, and then it's been a dance between the Cardinals and the Cubs, and currently affiliated with St. Louis as we have since 2013. The history is something we take a lot of pride in. You mentioned the wall that's showcased here in the videos. Over 200 big leaguers came through Peoria.
Yeah.
Wow. And obviously some of the names really jump out. Albert Pujols, Greg Maddux, Yadier Molina. Those guys are, Maddux, of course, already is Hall of Famer. The other two guys are pretty much as no doubt as you can get. Joe Girardi, Rafael Palmeiro, Coco Crisp on the all-name team. So it's a history that is well-versed in Peoria, and something that, and like I told you when we spoke at the ballpark, it's the one thing that I really want to drive home, and I know that our organization wants to drive home that Peoria is a baseball town. I think the important thing when you talk with our general manager, Jason Mott, and our staff, just we love our affiliation, our partnership with the Cardinals, and they are fantastic and great to work with in every way, shape, and form. But our history, too, we like to, you know, make sure that, hey, we don't neglect, just because we're not currently an affiliate of the Cubs or of the Angels, don't erase that portion of your history, because we're not here today without a lot of those seasons and fans filling up the ballpark, and Minden Field and Pete Fedotkin Stadium, O'Brien Field, and now, of course, Dozier Park. So, you know, to erase those from the history books, we think would be a misstep. And it's something we embrace regardless of affiliation. But we've been really blessed to have the Cubs and the Cardinals in town for as long as we have. You said it, Peoria is a 50-50 split. You know, it always feels like when your team's winning, maybe it goes 60-40 when the Cardinals won all those titles. And, you know, 2011, obviously, the David Freese season. And, you know, when you have Pujols and Molina teaming up and terrorizing the Cubs for a decade, you see those Cardinal fans on the front line, certainly.
Now, Peoria's Mr. Baseball, Pete Vonnegut, is essential to the history of baseball in Peoria, bringing the Chiefs to town 40 years ago. He loved baseball, and he loved the people that baseball brought into his orbit. And when you walk in, you see a statue of him as soon as you enter Dozier Park, and you feel that energy is kept alive.
Yeah, and again, it all goes back to our history. When you walk in, you see that bronze statue of Pete Vonnegut, and that was really his thing. He would go around the ballpark, and he would hand out baseballs to youngsters, you know, and I can only imagine how many young fans he really molded into baseball fans. Getting a baseball at one of your first games, I mean,
yeah,
cloud nine moment, right? So, you know, but I think it really goes to our history and, you know, Peoria. We had teams, and then we were kind of dormant before Pete came along and obviously purchased them from Danville. They were the Danville Suns at the time, and then he relocated them to Peoria. So I think it's a combination of two things. One, again, we really want to embrace the history. We want everyone to know the story of Pete Vonnegut and Peoria's Mr. Baseball. I mean, he gave the eulogy at Harry Carey's funeral. If you haven't seen it, go on YouTube. It's pretty moving.
Baseball needed Harry Carey, and it's hard to imagine the game, the city, the world without Harry.
Now, how's Peoria been a baseball fixture for 40 years when there have been teams in baseball with much shorter lifespans? They are good community partners.
I think there's two things that we've done specifically that we take great pride in. And, you know, I'll throw in a couple more things even. I think first off, you know, our Peyton Leverton, who runs our community relations, is fantastic. Whether that's participating in a reading program, visiting the children's hospital right down the street, whether that's a donation request, offering up some tickets or a Chiefs basket for a local fundraiser. We're so involved, and she has kind of her hands on just about everything in the community. So I really commend her and everything she does. And you know, taking Homer out and about in the community, and whether that's a farmer's market on the riverfront or to a local school or a local Little League game, what she does is fantastic, and we're all over the place. And of course, our COPA initiative, we really ramped that up this year. We worked closely with the Peoria Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, and we had a fantastic ceremony out on the field that included, we were playing Quad Cities, and every player who was from a Latin American country came out and stood with their flag. Really nice moment. And you could tell, especially the folks from Quad Cities, what it meant to some of their players to be included in this ceremony. I know Juan Carlos Negret specifically is from Cuba, and you could tell he was really prideful and really excited to be a part of the ceremony.
Peoria celebrated Latin baseball players by recognizing players from those countries. players from both teams, which I love, both teams, came out and stood behind their flag. And we spoke to Cody about this moment and what it meant to those players.
When you talk to even members of our coaching staff, you know, or scouts around the league throughout the year, there's a gentleman I talked to early in the season who does a lot of international scouting and just talks about how rewarding it is to see, you know, those kids get signed or, you know, venture into the States and play baseball. What a rewarding experience that is. And again, we take a lot of pride in that COPA ceremony. I think it's something we're going to do year in, year out from now on. But it was just really special. And yeah, to your point, I think, you know, it does carry an extra layer for a lot of those young men. And certainly we were happy to play a small part in telling Juan's story.
Peoria's driving force behind the ballpark experience is a phrase that's so simple, I can't believe I hadn't heard it before.
And the word we kept throwing around this year was vacation. Like, hey, there's a lot that goes on in the world. And if for 2.5 hours we can get your mind off something at home or something at work, and we can just get you to really lock in and enjoy a baseball game, enjoy the weather, a nice breeze, maybe a hot dog and a cold beverage, that's really what we strive to do. And I think that's a phrase that our GM Jason Mott brought to the table, the 9-inning vacation. And
I love that.
Really, we tried to roll with that. And for the most part, I think we've done a really nice job. We do a 0K night. You walk, we put a finish line at the front gate. You step over the finish line, you completed your 0K.
One of the things that the Chiefs recognize better than many others, a Chiefs fan can be from Peoria, Illinois, Peoria, Texas, or Peoria, New York. How they use that brand for the culture of minor league baseball collectors and ballpark chasers is pretty brilliant.
It absolutely is front and center. And I think our two alter egos would really show you that, hey, we're trying to get into that circle as well. The Peoria Orange Barrels, which is an ode not only to the construction workers in town and to all the folks who are out there, you know, working front lines every day, working in the heat. But, you know, also the bridge right by the ballpark, as you might have saw, is out right now. So it's a little bit of a, you know, it's certainly an ode to those folks. We teamed up with the Illinois Department of Transportation and, you know, we've done some awareness, construction zone speed limits and some of the things with IDOT, and they've been a fantastic partner. But also, right, there's that little bit of humor aspect to it. And I think people have really embraced that. And then, of course, the Peoria Pork Tenderloin. I like that one for two reasons. One, it's an oversized sandwich. That's awesome. And two, you go around the league, you talk to folks in Iowa. We're in Cedar Rapids for the playoffs tonight. Iowans will tell you, hey, we invented the pork tenderloin. And folks in Indiana would say, now, hold on, I think we invented it. So no one really knows the origin of the pork tenderloin. So we just wanted to kind of stake a claim and get in on that. So, but yeah, I think it goes back to your overall point, Jim, about the national brand that you can create, because you can certainly do it even at the minor league level. And those alter egos, we have our Peoria Distillers hats as well, which go way, way back into our history. And of course, our NL Rio de Peoria Copa gear. I'm completely with you. And I think with obviously everything you can do online nowadays, we're trying to expand that brand, not only into a Peoria brand or regional brand, but yeah, something that can have some national reach from time and again.
But now we have to talk to Cody about some random stuff because he's been around the game a minute. All right, Cody, what is your go-to ballpark food? Are you into like typical fare or do you like local specials?
I do like the local stuff. And I know South Bend, they have, you know, with their affiliation with the Cubs, they have a Chicago dog. They have the steak nachos that are killer. But I think my ultimate favorite, and the folks in Peoria can probably attest to this, ice cream in a batting helmet.
My favorite gotcha question for people in minor league baseball, other than the Chiefs, who do you think has the best overall brand?
Wow, that's a great question. Put me on the spot here. There's a lot of teams that do a great job. That for whatever reason, I see a lot of the Hartford Yard Goats on my Twitter page. They do a nice job. I've seen a lot of them, certainly. Yeah, I'm probably going to lock lock them in just based on first instinct. That was the first team that popped into my head.
And shameless plug, you can check out our Yard Goats episode from last week. Now, what I love about Cody's interview, it's clear how much he loves the Chiefs. And it's that level of buy-in from up and down the Chiefs staff that does make it a nine-inning vacation. It's a mission they choose to accomplish, and they accomplish it. When we were there, it was superhero night, so we took a mini trip to Gotham in the MCU. And as a longtime comic nerd, I can confirm the costumes were top-notch, and my granddaughter Lulu thinks I am the coolest because I know Spider-Gwen. Big props to Robin for his stick-on domino mask. Props to Batman for the bat photo bomb, and Spider-Man with the Captain America shield is very Braxton. My grandson, it's his go-to. Now, next season, you'll be faced with so many choices when it comes to baseball travel. I would suggest that when you're on your cruise through baseball, you make Peoria one of your stops. Disembark, get a beer, get a hot dog, and enjoy one of the greatest games ever invented in one of the coolest ballparks to ever host it.
On the St. Louis team, we have who's on first, what's on second, I don't know's on third.
That's what I want to find out. I want you to tell me the names of the fellas on the St. Louis team.
I'm telling you, who's on first, what's on second, I don't know's on third.
Do you know the fellas' names?
Yes.
Well, then who's playing first?
Yes.
I mean, the fellas'
who's
names.
Who's on first? Who? The Let's Get To team of the week.
Now, we've been covering the Lake Monsters of Vermont since our very first year of the show. We've had several members of the front office on the show, but until this year, we've never made it to Centennial Field. But when you're on the quest for 50 and it's time to get to Vermont, the Lake Monsters are your number one choice. Now, Vermont was at the tail end of the storms that decimated the region, and you could sense the folks were excited to be back at the ballpark. It's a collegiate summer league team, but the field and the playing space all felt like the thing you might see at an affiliated ballpark because, well, it was. And they might not be affiliated anymore, but they haven't lost a step at the ballpark. Now, the field is beautiful. It's a real sea of green, y'all, no doubt aided by that more conducive Vermont climate, as opposed to Austin, Texas. Seriously, my yard looks like a set piece from the Grapes of Wrath. Now, we showed up on Hot Dog Hysteria, and that meant hot dogs everywhere. And to paraphrase the late Jimmy Buffett, we had dogs to the left, we had dogs to the right, and I was the only Texan in town. And everyone was lined up for that most traditional of ballpark food. It even featured a pretty epic hot dog eating contest between two players on the field that we shot in slow motion because down here at Let's Get To, we are artsy like that. Now, the fan experience, it's driven by a lot of things. Look, there's lots of alcohol, and you know, if you've got a branded beer named after your team, you're taking your libations very seriously. You had kids playing catch. You had a woman practicing her first pitch. There was fans playing cornhole. There really is a lot going on, and the people were not daunted by the, look, let's be honest, the initially soggy weather. Now, to find out more about these mysterious lake monsters, we got to hang out with Jess Becker. She is the marketing and community relations manager for the Vermont Local 9. We talked about everything related to the monsters, including their adjusted after being removed from the ranks of affiliated baseball. But you know, we kept coming back to Champ, the one-time mascot of the year for Let's Get To. This guy is all over the park, hanging out literally in rain or shine.
Champ is our mascot. Champ goes all around the Burlington area and visits Little League events, visits schools, community events, libraries. Champ was actually at a library this morning, and so were some players reading to kids.
But we wanted to find out if the range of the Lake Monsters was limited to Centennial Field, or do they migrate into other parts of Burlington? And yes, I'm absolutely loving playing up this whole mysterious monster thing. And I was, of course, very curious to find out, how did Monsters fans adapt going from affiliated minor league baseball to collegiate summer league? Now, the fan experience hasn't changed despite the change in affiliation, And how much does that matter to Lake Monsters fans, new and old?
Fans are definitely still coming out. Tonight is actually Hot Dog Hysteria, 25-cent hot dogs all night long, and we are expecting a very large crowd. I know that my friends will be there. That's something that they look forward to every year. And we consistently have large crowds here at Centennial Field, and I don't think our fan base really has changed. People just want to have baseball in Burlington, and having baseball in Burlington just means so much to the kids that we have at our baseball clinics, to the UVM club team. Everybody just wants baseball here. So when we were disaffiliated from the minor leagues, everybody was like really sad about that. And then when we became a collegiate wooden bat team with the Futures League, everybody was just so excited to have baseball back in Burlington, and people show up and people love the experience that we've been able to provide since that transition.
One of the things I always want to ask a young woman like Jess, how aware is she that while she's doing her job and running all over the ballpark, she's setting an amazing example for young women out there?
I never really had that kind of representation until Jessica Mendoza became one of the analysts on ESPN for ESPN Baseball. And I feel so proud that our female front office staff are really showing young girls and even some of our younger female employees that, yes, you can do this, and that you shouldn't feel afraid to do it just because sports are a male-dominated field. I'm so proud to be able to empower others when I didn't have that empowerment growing up. And it just makes me so happy that even though I might not know it, I'm a role model for some little girl out there.
And now for some fun rapid fire.
I'm going to go OG, Godfather 1. Oh, Dad Hat, 100%. Oh, here at Centennial Field, definitely our wood fire pizza. It was voted for best food item in the Futures League, and all of our players get it before the games, and they typically have long, long lines. So definitely Centennial Field wood fired pizza.
And as I'm leaving here, how do you want a new fan to feel about their first time at the ballpark?
We just want you to have fun. All here, it's just about having fun and having a good time. And I know that a lot of people say that, but that is something that we really do truly pride ourselves in. And that is what the impression that we want to leave is, a fun, good experience for everyone.
And that's 100% how we felt. It was fun. It was down-home baseball at its best. It's a credit to the Lake Monsters and the culture they cultivate that they moved on from contraction and stayed strong. And unlike Nessie, it's not hard to find Champ the Lake Monster. Just look in the Burlington, Vermont area anytime during the summer.
And now, on to close it out, the right-hander from Houston, Texas, James Christopher.
So that does wrap up the penultimate episode of Let's Get To. Tune in next week as we say hello to the Fredericksburg Nationals and goodbye to the show Let's Get To. It's going to be a jam-packed episode, and it'll be a fun, fond, and a little sad farewell. But that does wrap up this episode, and usually we end the show with saying, get you some peanuts, get you some Cracker Jack, and most importantly, let's get two. But in this case, we're just going to say, next week, let's get one more. Let's Get Two, presented by Twitchy Dolphin Media. Creative Director, Jessica Bybee Jedgetts. Written, directed, and hosted by James Christopher. Executive Producers, Andy Tomchesson and Scott McIntyre. Produced by Andrew Nelson, Eric Mertens, Jess Canaster. Commentary by Gary C. Warren, Emily Nyman, Paul Caputo, Ed Rivera. Music by Grace Usselman, On Holiday. All trademarks of the teams covered on this episode are the property of those teams. Look for more content from Twitchy Dolphin Media and the Let's Get To family, including Go Go Astros, Fanboy 76, Yell Fight Suey, Jerseyed, and Unboxed. This has been Let's Get To, baseball from sea to shining sea by the folks who bring you home.